Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we take a look into the life of Moses, as we see how he found his true identity and purpose in life, help us to learn from him and to realize that every one of us has a very special calling given to us by you. Help us to live out that calling in greater ways. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've just finished the purpose-driven life. And now we're going to be talking for the next 4 weeks about how do we apply this to our lives by taking a look at different people in the Bible. And today we're going to be taking a look at the life of Moses. And there's four key issues we're going to be focusing on today. You'll find these also if you want to take out the insert in your bulletins, on identity, responsibility, priority, and difficulty. So we're going to talk about the foundation of how do we have true success, personal success in this life, and what does that look like? And we'll see this in the life of Moses. We're also going to take a look in the life of Jesus and then into our own lives as well. And the first thing I want to talk about is something that Moses encountered and discovered was discover what God wants me to be. Discover what God wants each of us to be. Now it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, what does this have to do with discovering what God wanted him to be? You see, you can break Moses' life into three segments of 40 years. 40 years he spent where? In Egypt, okay? Growing up in a palace. 40 years in the wilderness taking care of sheep. Then 40 years leading the people of Israel. Now, when he was born, the Egyptians have given a decree that all baby boys were to be what? Killed. The population of the Hebrews had grown so vast that the Egyptians were worried that the Hebrews were going to take them over. So they ordered the death of all these baby boys. So Moses' mother and father kept him for 3 months. But then they realized that it's getting dangerous, so they put him in a basket, put him in the Nile River. And he floated to just the right person at the right time. Who was the person? Pharaoh's daughter. And for what we know from history, she did not have a child. And she saw this baby and she fell in love with this child and she raised Moses as her own. He grew up in a palace, in the king's palace. Great wealth, the best of food, the best of material possessions, the best education, which is going to be very valuable later on as he writes out the first five books of the Bible. But even as he is going through those first 4 years of life, something inside of him was stirring. He began to realize, I'm not an Egyptian. I'm a Hebrew. That God has a different calling for me. I'm sure he was appreciative to Pharaoh's daughter to raise him and to give him life. But he knew that God had a different calling for him. He was to be a leader, and over time he was going to understand what this was to mean, and it didn't happen overnight. It took a lot of years. It was when he was 80 years old when he encountered the burning bush, when God finally says, I want you to go back to Egypt and let my people go. For 80 years he's learning about himself, and even during his last 40 years of his life, he's still learning more about himself all the time, and the point is in this life, we're always learning more about ourselves, aren't we? Now, I'm 60 years old. And the thing is, I feel like I keep learning more about myself. I wish my memory was better, as good as it was when I was 20. But the thing is, you keep learning. You keep growing. As long as we're on this planet, God has a plan. He has a purpose for us. You look in the scriptures, and you look at the life of Jesus. There's never been anybody that's walked on this planet that had a better sense of self-understanding as him. He knew his purpose. He knew why he was brought here, to bring us salvation. Moses, we're going to see, was to lead the people to the promised land here on earth. Jesus came to lead us to the promised land in heaven. From the time he was 12 years old to 30, what do we learn? That he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and people. That Jesus was even growing as a child to his adulthood to be the best Jesus he could be. You see, we each have a calling. to keep striving to be the best person that God made us to be. There's no one like you. And we live in a world where people so often are living in lives of entertainment through TV, social media. People watching everybody else's lives. And people thinking, I want to be like that person, or I want to be like that person. And some of the people that are these influencers in society, they're not the kind of people you want to be. There's only one person you're supposed to be. Know who that person is? You. The way God made you to be. He loves you the way you are. He's got a plan for you that only you can fulfill. To realize that God has a plan for each one of us. To be who God wants you to be. The second thing I want to talk about, so the first thing again is be the person God has called you to be. The second thing is this. To accept responsibility for your life. That we each accept responsibility for our lives. It says in verse 25, he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. You see, in this life, we have a decision to make. The world or the word. And for Moses, it was either this life of luxury in Egypt, you're living in a secular society that worshipped other gods, or to follow the true God. Which way was he going to go? He took responsibility. He chose the path that God had for him, even though it was going to be a much more difficult path. It's a path that ultimately led him away from Egypt into the wilderness for 40 years, where he would be taking care of sheep. And my guess, sometimes when he's out in that field, you know, thinking about being alone and with those sheep, maybe he's thinking about maybe what it was like back in Egypt. But he realized he made the right choice. And sometimes the choices we make in life can be difficult. We live in a society where so many people don't want to take responsibility for their own lives. I was reading about a politician recently who had to resign because of what this individual had done as far as immoral type of behavior. And then in the article, this individual, rather than taking responsibility, said, well, I did it because of the media did this to me and the other political party did this to me. Blaming others. Do we see that all the time in the world today? You see, God calls upon us to take responsibility for ourselves. And we can't grow and move forward unless we do that. Just a few short moments ago, we had confession and absolution. We're collectively together. We admitted to God and one another, you know what? I am a what? Sinner. I make mistakes. I'm not perfect. But we have a God who forgives us. And taking responsibility for our own lives is so important. So often people are so focused on everyone else, and they do that sometimes because they don't think they want to look inside themselves. There's only one life we can live, and that's the one that God gave us, to take responsibility for our lives. The third thing, establish a value system. So first, again, be the person God calls you to be. Second, take responsibility for your life. The third is establish a value system for your life. In verse 26, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead for his reward. He found something of greater value than the wealth of Egypt. In fact, if you read about some of the history that comes out about Moses during his time in Egypt, since he was brought up in the palace, he probably, and also the son of Pharaoh's daughter, there's a good chance one day he could be what? Pharaoh himself. But yet, he found a value system more important. You know, the world's value system, here's some characteristics. And we see this in the text so far. The world's value system is power and prestige, pleasure, possessions. This is the world's value systems. Moses found a new value system. Number one, he realized that God's calling is more valuable than popularity. God's calling more valuable than popularity. God's challenges are more valuable than pleasures. That sometimes as we take responsibility, those decisions are tough. That God's grace is more valuable than possessions. grace. God's grace is more valuable than the things of this world. And as you think about the life of Moses at Mount Sinai, God gave to him what? The Ten Commandments. You see, what God is all about is love. And how do we know what love is? There's all kinds of laws that Moses was given. There were ceremonial laws, there were civil laws, but the ones that still apply to us directly today is the moral law, which is the Ten Commandments. And what the moral law shows us is what love looks like. And love is summarized ultimately in loving God and loving people. In the first three commandments, talk about loving God. You shall know their gods before me. You should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. In other words, put God first in everything in your life. Live your life for God. Worship Him, not just like we are right now on a Sunday morning, but worship Him all week long, each and every day. This is what love towards God looks like. He's the center of all aspects of our life. Then love your neighbor. The next seven commandments. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet. All secular societies on this planet follow these because they're universal. If everybody lived according to those commandments, we would be living in utopia. That's the moral system that God gives to us. That's what He wants for all people on this planet to follow. And again, there's only one life that we can live. And what's important is we can't go through life saying that everybody else should live by those laws. It's got to start where? Ourselves. To realize that's my moral system. So Moses shows what those laws, he brought those laws to us, he lived them out in his life. And there's one person that walked on this planet and lived them out perfectly, and who's that? Jesus. In fact, his purpose, the purpose Jesus had was to love God and love people. He loved his Father, he loved people perfectly. And because we do not fulfill those commandments perfectly ourselves, he gave his life on a cross, the perfect sacrifice for our sins, that we have God's grace. We're forgiven. And now in this forgiveness, we're called upon now to use the freedom we have in Christ to live according to His value system. The commandments aren't done away with, folks. We should now want to live by them because we want to. God loves me and I love Him and I love people and I want to live according to His value system. And that's what sets us apart as Christians. One of the biggest problems in our society today is too many Christians are living worldly lives. Again, as we take responsibility more and more in our lives, we are not to live by the standards of the world, but by the standards of who? Of God. In response to His love and His grace. Week ago Saturday, I was driving home, and I was taking a right turn, and the light was just turning from yellow to red. I was kind of just... It turned red while I was in the intersection, and there was no one in the intersection, okay? Anybody ever made a turn like that before? So I made the turn, and right behind me, all of a sudden, it's like, here comes the lights, the police officer. Pulls me over, I'm thinking, first I'm thinking, this is ticky-tack, you know? He must be having a boring night or something, I don't know, because I didn't really feel like I did anything wrong, but I thought about it, and he came over, and he asked for my identification, and the things he asked for, and I'm thinking there, you know, he's right. The light had turned red after I'd made the turn there. And also I realized, too, in the back of my car, I've got a God loves you, and it also it says, in God we trust, okay? And so I'm thinking as he's writing down my license plate number and he's seeing those things, I'm thinking, you know what? This is an opportunity for me. Rather than get panic and be upset, I'm going to be paying him fine and going to driver's school once again after about 4 or 5 years since my last ticket. You know, he came over and handed me the ticket and explained to me what happened. I didn't complain. I said, you know, officer, I said, you're right. You're right. And I just want you to know that I really, you know, I thank God for you and the service you do to our community. You're a real blessing to us. Have a great day. He's probably thinking, oh, that's not the normal type of thing that happens to me. Because I'm sure all kinds of people, it wasn't my fault, it was someone else's fault, or just, you know. We have an opportunity in this life to be examples. And I'm not a perfect person. But we have a moral standard to live by, and God calls upon us to live by the value system He establishes for us. So be the people that God wants you to be. Take responsibility for your lives and follow God's value system. And the last thing I want to share, never take your eyes off the goal. Don't take your eyes off the goal. In verse 27, by faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Moses had a challenging life. You think about, so he goes for the 40 years in Egypt, and then he goes out 40 years as a shepherd. And by the way, now finally at the age of 80, God finally thinks, okay, this guy's finally ready. Age 80. Catch that, folks? We live in a society today where I think we're kind of socialized that, okay, once you get to a certain age, you're out to pasture. Baloney. Okay? People, the longer we're here, the more knowledge we have, the more we have to offer even this world. There's always a calling. And what happens is he then is used by God. Was it easy? Was his journey easy as he goes and they go through the plagues in Egypt? There were some challenges. There were difficulties. Then they're going to the Red Sea and the chariots are following and they're trapped. And what does God do? Opens up the Red Sea. They go across on dry ground. They see this amazing miracle. They watch the waters go back over and drown the chariot riders of Pharaoh. And they're in the wilderness and they're on their way to the promised land. Things should be great, right? Within 1 month, what happens? The people are griping and they're complaining. They're saying, we had it so much better. We're back in Egypt as slaves. It's amazing how memories are so short. But yet Moses kept his eyes on the goal. He walked closely with God, okay? He realized, I've got a destiny to go to the promised land. And that's where he led them. He led them to the promised land. But the ultimate person to lead us to the promised land is Jesus. We see a lot of similarity between Moses and Jesus. You know, Egypt is symbolic of hell. And then they're delivered from Egypt. They go into the wilderness of sin, which is symbolic of life. And the promised land is symbolic of heaven. Jesus is the one who takes us all the way to the real promised land, which is heaven. And I don't know about you, but someday when I leave this planet, I want to be remembered as someone who helped lead people to the promised land. Because in the end, that's what really matters. And the way we do that is by leading people to who? To Jesus. You know, this last week I saw a movie, Midway. Anybody? It's a great movie, by the way. And it just came out this weekend, just a, you know, Veterans Day weekend. And I'm watching this movie and I'm just realizing how blessed I am to be part of a country where so many people have sacrificed so much. And it really builds up the characters and real people in life and what they did, what they were like. And I was bawling through a lot of the movie, realizing these people did all this for me, how brave they were, given their lives. In that battle in particular, if things would have gone just slightly different, the outcome of the war could have been different. Everything fell just the right way. And we are so blessed in this country to have this freedom. And these individuals serve our country, they had their eyes on the goal that we can have freedom, not live in tyranny. We should never, never give up our thankfulness to those individuals. This last week too, and even last week we had All Saints Sunday. And I was emotional for me to see all those names that came up last week. We think about the people who have gone before us. And I was thinking about my mom. And my mom was she wasn't the kind of person who would talk a lot about her faith, but she showed it. And I was, you know, my folks brought me to church every Sunday, Sunday school every week, forced me to go to youth group, but I was not getting Christianity. It was going over my head. And she knew that. And she never gave up. And she worked at this Christian bookstore, and I'd walk in my room, and there was a new book. You know, Mere Christianity one day was there. That's a pretty deep book. I read it. And another day it was Josh McDowell, Evidence Demands a Verdict, a great book on apologetics. And then some Christian rock and roll albums when they first came out. She wanted me to listen to the right kind of music. And I just, you know, she didn't realize, but I was listening to the music, I was reading the books, and I was being led in the pathway to Jesus. And I thank God that she led me to the promised land, led me to Jesus, into the promised land. And that's what God calls upon us to do. You know, this life is short. and the things in this world are just temporary. But what we're about has eternal significance. Do we catch that? Do we realize? It's, you know, we're here right now in worship, and this is so important, but you know, it really is going to matter is when we leave here and we go out there and we see the people that we see on a daily basis, you know, friends, neighbors, relatives, family members that don't know Jesus, and to be available and to see how God works through us. And so often, the actions we do are more powerful than the words that we say. So my friends, let's learn from the example of Moses. Let's be the people that God wants each of us to be. Let's take responsibility for our lives. Let's follow God's value system. Let's never take our eyes off the goal, because even as we go through the problems of this life, no matter how difficult they are, we know on the other side there's heaven. On the other side, the best is always yet to come. And for us to enjoy this journey each and every day, because we have a God who loves us so much. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for loving us so much, and we thank you for the example that you show us through people like Moses. But you're the ultimate example. Not only are you our Savior, but you are our Lord. You show us how to live. You want us to have a great life now as well, and the key is that we become the people that you want us to be. Not shaped by the world, but shaped by your word. That we take responsibility for our lives. That ultimately we follow your value system. And that we keep our eyes on the goal. We're never going to heaven, but that ultimate goal is to keep our focus on you. We pray this in your name. Amen.